Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. Pleasure to see you again, and I kind of use, you know, quotation marks for see you again. Not exactly how I envisioned chairing my first advisory council meeting, but of course, there have been a lot of twists and turns along the last couple of months. I do hope this finds you healthy, you and your family, your loved ones healthy and content. We developed this meeting's agenda so that we have six agenda items, three today and three tomorrow. I'm just going to say a few words of housekeeping. First of all, starting with just to let you know that this is a public meeting. We will have a closed administrative session tomorrow, and that session will discuss the role, composition, the operations of the advisory council. A matter that we've discussed for all of us, most of us, about a month ago, a little more than a month ago in early April, during the small group meetings that we had. So the purpose of those meetings, our discussions, to take forward the trustees' request that I review the council's role composition, which, again, I've said this in the small group meetings, that's an important element of any organization. And good governance. And so I thought the small group meetings went very well. We'll take that forward a little bit tomorrow, following the agenda tomorrow. So just for housekeeping, you know, at this point, I'd usually ask the host of the meeting to tell us when we'll break for coffee or tea, where to go for lunch, where dinner will take place. No need for that. And no need to ask where the restrooms are located. Trust. In approximately 90 minutes from now, we'll take a 15-minute break after we've heard from our pre-invited speakers who will discuss their organization's efforts related to monitoring implementation of their standards. And after we've had the opportunity to hear from Erkki Liikanen, the chair of the IFRS Foundation trustees, and from Lee White, the executive director. Importantly, during the meeting today and tomorrow, if you wish to make an intervention or ask a question, please use the chat room. For those of you who are connecting in the conventional way, which is over the internet, you'll see in the lower left-hand portion of your screen the chat room. So, in lieu of putting up your name cards as we would normally do at a physical meeting, please just type into the chat room you'd like to be recognized. I'll be paying close attention to that. For those of you who are on this in this meeting that you've dialed in using your telephone, please contact Anna Simpson from the foundation staff. Anna's email, in case you don't know it, is asimpson at ifrs.org, but you should already be familiar with Anna. If you contact Anna by email, she'll get in touch with me to let me know that you would like to be recognized. Finally, you'll see the mute button at the lower portion of your screen, right in the middle. Please use that, and don't forget. And I say this really to myself. Please remember to unmute when you're ready to talk. Erkki, with those modest opening remarks, can I ask you to provide an update on the activities of the foundation?
Thank you very much, Bill, and I also want to welcome everybody to this meeting, and I wish you all well and safe. It's a very different meeting in the format, and also there are many new people. I'm especially happy to welcome Bill Cowan as new chair. I've learned to know Bill very well during many years. I've learned to disrespect his judgment and contribution. He has also been on the advisory council before, but above all, he was the secretary general of the Basel Committee on Banking Supervision during crisis years also. When you think about this crisis, we all remember a book was published at the time, it was written by Carmen Reinhart and Ken Rogoff. Name was This Time Is Different. It was a big book about financial crisis, but it was a sarcastic title. The message was, it is not different. But 3 days ago, Carmen Reinhart, who is new chief economist of the World Bank, and Ken Rogoff gave an interview. They said, this time it's truly different, which actually is a very good point, because this kind of supply-side shock what we have today in a global form is something we have never seen before. About 20 years ago, we discussed a lot about the internet, broadband, distant learning, distant working. I was then on that responsibility in the European Commission on IT and enterprise. I went back to those papers 20 years ago. I would never have believed how deeply we are really connected today, because the broadband is existing everywhere. Homes, offices, schools are connected, we're able to work and operate. And that has been extremely good to see during this process, that we have been able to carry on. We have good technology infrastructure, which has been extremely helpful, and also it has been functioning perfectly. But of course, at the same time, I want to thank Hans, Sue, Lee, and all the staff that they have been able to run the organization through distant working in these exceptional times. We all know that it's one thing is technology, but to take care of people, motivate them, care for them in these kind of times is terribly difficult, and I'm happy to see that three-level people have done it very well. I'm also happy to welcome Anna Simpson, who is now the new coordinator at the Council of the Foundation. Now, when you ask for the floor by telephone, you need to contact her. As to this work on about COVID crisis and its effects on the board's technical plan, Hans will talk about that more tomorrow. Trustees have been supporting the board in their efforts and how they have adjusted their work plan to support the stakeholders. So what have we been doing during the last since the last meeting of Advisory Council? We have had actually two trustees meetings. The last one was in February in Brussels. We organized also a stakeholder event together with EFRAG, and the guest speaker was there, Valdis Dombrovskis, who is the Vice President of the European Commission. He gave a speech on green and digital transformations. There was a very lively discussion. Afterwards, we had two prominent members of the European Parliament there too. And I'm also happy to say that we had a very substance-rich joint meeting with the monitoring board. It's very important that all these institutions work in the spirit of the Constitution, what we have. It's not about formal, it's also about the substance. And with the monitoring board, the cooperation is functioning well, while respecting the role of each institution's board, trustees, and the monitoring board. Last year, in October, we were in New York, and there also we had an impressive stakeholder event organized by the Sphere Institute, and Bob Boson was the keynote speaker. There was a panel afterwards in YSB and FASB. Hans was a panelist in that discussion. Perhaps two words about the work of the trustees' committees. All the committees have been working, of course, a lot, but I just raise three of them here now. New Process Oversight Committee, which led by Alan Beller, has had a great project to revise the Due Process Handbook, which is the key document ensuring principle of transparency, full and fair consultation, and accountability. And we're happy to say that the revised handbook, together with feedback statement, will be published soon. So it's really an advanced level. During this corona crisis, this committee has had a key responsibility, because they have been working closely with the board on COVID-19 related matters. Now, trusts adopted short comment period on important consultations. It is IFRS 16. It was very important for the stakeholders. Secondly, of course, nominating committee is in a key role. It's led by Michel Madelin. It's been busy in securing the nomination of new trustees. We have now three new trustees in January: Alessandro Brodel, Joanna Perry, and Maria Theofilakis. But at the same time, of course, they are filling the posts of the board members. And now the big question, of course, important nomination, which is in preparation, is the chair of the ISB, who will succeed Hans in this job. Thirdly, just on technology, I must say that when we started our big technology project some time ago, we never knew that it would be tested already during the first meters. We have a particular committee, Business Process Technology Committee, led by Werner Brandt, which has been a critical role in overseeing this digital transformation of the foundation. One side is technology, where people are working heavily now, but of course, medium to long term, critical is how you improve the skills of people, how you reorganize the processes to get the highest possible productivity output. But we really see already now tangible outcomes from this project. New HR and finance systems are in place. I'm sure Lee White is ready to provide more information on that later. Finally, and this is my last point, one of the tasks of the trustees is to prepare for a strategic review, and we are doing it at the moment. We have had many meetings already by the trustees and committees. We monitor the trends and the effect on the foundation. One of the issues which is raising a lot of interest, which turned out to be more and more important, is the question about sustainability reporting. There are many, many reportings, there are many reports, there are many acronyms in the field. Key question is that how could they be comparable, transparent, useful for investors around the world? The organization is now thinking, reflecting this issue, and we have had a special task force led by Professor Lucrezia Reichling, sustainability, and they reported us already in last trustees meeting, and we will come back to that issue very soon. I would say that is a big question of the agenda. We will consult publicly this document by the end of the year. So I want to finish here. Thank you very much, Bill, for giving me the floor. Thank you.
Erki, thank you very much for this update on the foundation. And just as a reminder to council members, we will we'll also hear from Hans tomorrow to provide an update on the work of the board. At this point, let me ask, we have a minute or two. Any questions for Erki or Lee White, who's on the call with us?
Bill, it's Lee here. Just as we wait for some questions to come in, just to advise council members that the next meeting of the trustees will be occurring as we had originally planned in the week commencing the 8th of June. It will be, for obvious reasons, a different form of meeting to what we normally do, but essentially it's occurring as we planned and will cover all of the types of committee work and other matters that Chairman Erki just referred to.
I see. Thank you, Lee. Garth, the floor is yours, please.
I have just got a comment on the minutes of the October meeting on page 5 of the minutes. When it deals with the due process handbook, it deals with agenda decisions, and it says that agenda decisions are not part of RFS, that's the board's board's decision. But later on, it says that you can't claim compliance with RFS unless you comply with those agenda decisions. So that to me does seem to be contradictory, and I'm just a bit concerned if that follows through into the due process handbook, that's just going to make life difficult for some people on how to interpret that.
Okay. Take that first. I hope that Hans or Sue can continue. And I must say that when I came to institution, That was the one which puzzled me most, which agenda decision. Of course, the key message is that standards are the standards. They cannot be changed. So they are not replacing standards. Of course, they give more information, more knowledge how to apply them. But perhaps Hans or Sue can comment on this issue more because you have been involved in discussion a lot.
Hans, do you want me to comment or do you want to comment? I can comment. So, Garth, thanks for your questions. And I think that what was apparent in the feedback that we got on the exposure draft for the changes to the due process handbook is that this is still one of the areas that is least clear to stakeholders. So the first thing I'd say is that in the revised due process handbook, we spent a lot of time trying to improve the articulation of the role of agenda decisions. What we've done there is to make it clear that an agenda decision cannot add or change the requirements. So that's why we talk about them not being sort of standards in their own right, because they cannot add to or change the existing requirements. They're an explanation of the existing requirements. Because they're an explanation, and essentially I think of them as a reminder of what the standards already require, it follows that in order to be to assert compliance with IFRS, you need to follow an agenda decision. But I'm hoping that the new words in the due process handbook should help clarify that status question.
Good. Thank you very much, Sue. Let's hear from Tom Mirshak. Good day, Tom.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Ligana, for your presentation. I have a small question. It's about sustainability reporting, which, as you said, is a very important topic. And I was wondering how you consider the situation in Europe in respect to non-financial information sustainability reporting, as the European Commission asked AFRAC to prepare itself to come with standards in Europe. So is the foundation maybe not a bit a little bit late? How do you see this? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. This is a very, very good question, because at the same time, we have regional initiatives in the area. European Commission is one, and EU is one, who's having them. On the other hand, the problems are global. You can't talk about climate change limited to the national or regional borders. So one of the key issues we are working on that how these two can complement each other, increase regional initiatives, at the same time work for the global standards. I must say, the many global organizations have raised the same issue with us. And we are just on this very point, working on that at the moment. And I'm sure that really before summer we can tell more. But you put your finger on the right point. You need both. You can't say that you can't do anything regionally. As many issues are also close. But you say that we limit the handling the climate change at the external borders, you miss the whole question. So that is the balance. I don't say that we are late, but of course we must be respectful to different jurisdictions, but also carry our responsibility in the long term. Our viewpoint is mainly the investor view, and what is the one big question is that what will ISB do as its remit, or should there be a separate board doing more sustainability within the same institution? I'm sure that when we have our next meeting with the Advisory Council, this will be one of the key issues. Thank you very much for your question.
Forward for it.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Erki, and thanks to Tom and Garth for your questions. I will, in a moment, I will introduce our guest speakers who are going to be talking about how their organizations monitor implementation. Just a few words about this agenda, and I should have prefaced earlier when we were setting up this agenda. You know, there was even some discussion, is it the right time to have a meeting with all the stress going on in the world? All your organizations, everyone is, you know, well, many people are in crisis mode. Their organizations are working furiously to respond to stress and pressures that they're seeing in their businesses. arising from the pandemic. So there was really even a discussion, a fundamental discussion, is it the right time to have this meeting? But then if you look at the agenda and the last question in Eric's response on sustainability, there are some, there continue to be these really these outstanding, these important issues. Sustainability is one of them. Monitoring the digital experience, KPIs that, you know, some really important aspects of the work of the trustees, the foundation, and the board, and advice that we can give on these topics. And that, so we did decide, of course, to go ahead with the meeting, but we, I think we have a somewhat modest agenda. I think the view was let's walk before we can run. All of you will recall, for those who participate in the small group meetings, during those meetings, the one of several common threads that came out, the value of the breakout sessions that we have at the advisory council meetings. Those have worked out really well, and it's a great way to get good feedback, good advice on from a broad, large, diverse group like the council. We're not doing that this time, of course. Although I think we have the technology, I think we could do it. But again, we wanted to take things slow and see how this works. So that said, I think we've got some excellent topics ahead of us the next couple of hours today and for tomorrow. And the first topic I'd like to turn to, so now we're going to move directly now to the monitoring of implementation and application of standards. And we are joined, now we're starting this agenda item a little bit early, so I trust that my colleague, my longtime friend and colleague, Olivier Prato from the Basel Committee is on the call. We have Mr. Josefate Luna Martinez from IOSCO, who will present IOSCO's work on implementation. And we have Ellen Gaston from the IMF for Ellen to provide some the view from the fund, from the IMF, when it comes to monitoring implementation and application of standards. Olivier, I'd like to start with the Basel Committee. Can I hand the floor to you? Now, each of our invited speakers has provided a deck of slides, and those have been forwarded to you last week or a few days ago. I think just for the sake of ease, I'd like to just go through. I'd just like to give the speakers the floor rather than put the slides up on the screen, really in an effort to forestall any technical problems. Olivier, bonjour. Is that okay with you? If I give you the floor, I'd like, and for each speaker to say 10 minutes or so to talk about your organization's work. Olivier, is that okay with you?